What's up, everyone? This is the Red and Yellow Kingdom podcast. I'm your host, Rich, doing things solo today as my normal partner in crime isn't able to make it. As always, don't forget to check us out on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And don't forget to follow our podcast on all major podcast platforms such as Spotify, Apple, Google, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Recording this episode a little bit later in the week due to a busy schedule. Wind is crazy here in Kansas City right now, so if you hear any weird noises, I apologize for that in advance. But I'll get straight into it. What a successful game for the Chiefs. I think we talked about that in the episode beforehand, that of course you always want to be entertained, but when it's that successful or one-sided, let's say for the team you're rooting for, something you always appreciate, and it was very, very successful for the Chiefs. So I'll get right into the numbers. Score of the game was 48 Chiefs, Raiders 9, brings our record to 9-4, drops the Raiders to 6-7. Chiefs are now in first place and heading into a division leading matchup with the Chargers coming up tomorrow night. Looking into the overall team numbers for the game, going to some of the bigger, more important stats. Overall total yards by both offenses, the Raiders had 290 yards, 246 in the air with 44 on the ground. Chiefs had 372 total yards, 240 in the air with 132 on the ground. Both teams were sacked a little bit, more than usual. Chiefs gave up 3 sacks for 18 yards, and the Raiders gave up 4 sacks for 17 yards. Turnover battle was definitely one-sided in this game, with the Chiefs getting 5 turnovers on the Raiders, 4 fumbles, and 1 interception. Time of possession was also won by the Chiefs, 33 with 35 seconds, and the Raiders were at 26 minutes and 25 seconds. Let's jump into some of the individual numbers for the players that we always love to hear about. Patrick Mahomes was 20 of 24, 250 yards, 2 touchdowns. Mentioned the 3 sacks that he had earlier, but his passer rating was 139.2. Derek Carr was 33 for 45, 263 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, sacked 4 times for a passer rating of 85.7. On the ground, Derek Gore was the leader for the Chiefs with 66 yards with a 51-yard scamper there at the end of the game, which made him lead the way. But our top carrier was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. For the Raiders, 24 yards was their top rusher in Josh Jacobs with 9 carries, no touchdowns. And then on the receiving front, Tyreek Hill led the way for the Chiefs with 4 receptions and 76 yards. Touchdowns were scored by Josh Gordon, Darrell Williams from a receiving perspective, while Clyde Edwards-Helaire had 2 touchdowns on the ground. The Raiders' sole touchdown came for their leading reception and receiving yards getter in Hunter Renfrow. He had 13 receptions, 117 yards, and 1 touchdown. Defensively, there are numbers all over the board for the Chiefs, as this was a complete party for them. But I'll start off with going into the solo tackle category. The AFC Defensive Player of the Week, Mike Hughes, led the way with 8 solo tackles and 2 forced fumbles with 1 fumble recovery. That was on the first play from scrimmage on that Josh Jacobs strip fumble by Jaren Reed, where Mike Hughes picks it up, runs it into the end zone. The interceptions came by Tyrann Mathieu on a drop pass by a Raider, and he's in the area and gets an interception. So Tyrann Mathieu did an interception there, and he also had a fumble recovery. So overall, like I said, good numbers from a ton of players. It was a coming out party for a few folks. From a sack perspective, Alex Okafor had a sack and a half. Deshaun Worthen had one sack. Clark, Ingram, and Jones all had half a sack. So, again, just good numbers overall by the defense. We were missing L'Jarius Sneed, you know, due to the tragic passing of his brother. So wish him and his family all the strength possible to get through a very tough time. In his absence, we did get Rashad Friend back for a little bit, and he played well. Numbers weren't the greatest, but that's what you want, right? You want a corner whose numbers should be low because that means nothing's coming his way. And because we're a few days late doing our post-game review, injury report has definitely changed a little bit. Most of the notable injuries now are COVID positives. So that's something I'll touch base on more in detail tomorrow before the big matchup versus the Chargers. Getting into the highlights of the games or the big call-outs that made this game fun to watch. If you were a Chiefs fan, because if you were a Raiders fan, you're in complete shock as they were down 35-3 at the half. But I'll start out with, of course, the first play of the game or from scrimmage. Josh Jacobs runs to the left. Jaren Reed goes to tackle him, strips him, and Mike Hughes recovers the fumble, runs it in for a touchdown. We're up early in the game. In that first quarter, there was also a nice little swing pass where Patrick finds Darrell Williams open, and he runs it in for a touchdown. And, of course, one of the nice things this year early in the game is when Jones and Ingram were just wreaking havoc and Clark continuing in his great form coming off the edge where they all got basically a half a sack. Second quarter, there was definitely some more action. Clyde Edwards-Helaire scores on one of those fake dive pitches to the left to Clyde Edwards-Helaire, runs it in. We were in the red zone at that point. And then comes some more defensive balling out with the Raiders tight end Moreau dropping a reception, bounces up, and Tyrann Mathieu is in the area and gets an interception there. Later on, Josh Gordon scores his first touchdown of the year on a one-yard screen, which seemed to be definitely a confidence call for Josh Gordon, as most people probably run it in from the one-yard line unless you're Pete Carroll with Marshawn Lynch or Andy Reid. So that was cool to see. It's always good to see a player that you take a chance on get some success. And this was probably a game where Josh Gordon did have a little bit more than what he's normally had in the past. Also in the second quarter there, we get another turnover on defense where Mike Hughes once again makes a great play by stripping Hunter Renfrow after he makes a reception, and Tyrann Mathieu being around the ball recovers the fumble there. Clyde Edwards-Helaire gets his second touchdown run on a little scamper right outside the goal line. Basically at the half, we're 35-3 as the Raiders were able to score a late field goal there to end the half. But yeah, 35-3. That point, I know from watching the game, I wouldn't say in complete shock, because I know the defense has been playing really well. The Raiders are so hot and cold that, you know, they can play a great game and beat the Cowboys like they did on Thanksgiving Day, or they can get absolutely annihilated as they did this past weekend, as well as the first time they played the Chiefs this year. So they're just a team that's struggling, and the Chiefs treated them that way. But yeah, at the half, we're 35-3, feeling good about the game. In my head, I'm thinking Andy Reid will probably take his foot off the gas. You know, it's kind of the unwritten rule that the NFL has amongst coaches is you don't run up the score. This isn't Bama playing somebody from a lower-end D1 school, and they have to, you know, beat them by 70 or anything like that. You don't have to give minutes to the freshman or anything like that. And as shown in a game last week when the Steelers came back on the Minnesota Vikings last Thursday night, you're never out until the game's over, which That one wasn't over until literally the last catch of the game, where the Steelers were down by a few touchdowns heading into the fourth quarter. So 35-3 seemed like a meaningful score that the Chiefs could control. Thankfully, they did, despite taking their foot off the gas. So third quarter wasn't filled with much, as the defense was stifling once again against the Raiders offense. Harrison Butker gets a 54-yard field goal there, making it 38-3. Then as we head in the fourth quarter, you can definitely tell the game has lightened up for the Chiefs. Foot is completely on the gas. They're basically just rolling down the hill on neutral. Harrison Butker gets a 37-yard field goal. And then there's a nice 51-yard touchdown scramble by Derrick Gore. I'm used to saying Frank Gore so much. But Derrick Gore, once again, shows his electric ability. Breaks one right up the middle, makes 1-2 cuts, hits the hole, and is gone for 51 yards. Love this kid's athleticism. I'm glad we kept him on the team. Elevated him off the practice squad a while ago. And he's just been making plays every time in this game. So every time he's in the game. So I think as time goes on, we'll see more and more of him. I mean, and if you've got three running backs that can have a positive impact on your offense, that's always good. So once again, happy for Derrick Gore and not Frank Gore. Of course, there in the fourth quarter, once again, Mike Hughes makes another strip, and Juan Thornhill recovers there a little bit later in the fourth quarter to basically culminate an amazing defensive performance, which, by the way, is another amazing defensive performance with this now record-setting Chiefs defense that we've seen over the last few weeks, right? What a thought to think that first couple weeks of the season – that this is the same defense playing. It's been a complete 180, and that's why you don't make assumptions or call for heads after the first few weeks, right? We all knew that there were struggles. They had to figure it out, and they have. And they've been the best defense in the NFL for a while now. So it was good to see, them get a lot of turnovers and just watching the defense ball out. Offensively, Patrick didn't have to do too much. It was another one of those clean games for him, as it was versus the Raiders in the first game this year. And Andy Reid did a great job of getting the ball to his running backs and letting them make plays. One thing I did want to call out was a play there in the fourth quarter, which probably would have been another fumble six for the Chiefs there, where, if I'm not mistaken, Tashaun Worthen catches Derek Carr scrambling to the right as he's leaving the pocket. Absolutely cleans him up. Ball pops out, but because the play had been whistled, the play is dead. It's not reviewable. Armani Watts recovers the ball and is wide open, going to, basically run into the end zone untouched. But for some reason, the ref decided to call, blow the whistle, dead throughout the process of Derek Carr being tackled, right? Which doesn't make sense, because if you're hitting him, you still got to go through the motion of going to the ground with him. So I don't really get that one there, but, and I could be wrong. It could have been the whistle. Maybe it was a little bit later, but when I heard it, it was still in the process. You can clearly see that the ball comes out of Derek Carr's hands, and Armani Watts makes a clear recovery and would have ran it in. So referee blunder. Once again, it's one of those controversial, since the game was basically out of hand, but one of those where you would have liked to see the play out. And maybe that's a rule change where if there's a clear error in the call, the dead whistle doesn't stop it, and the replay or the booth, the video assistant referees, whatever you want to call them, overturn the call because it's the right thing to do. That would be great. So something, nice to call out, because that would have been another defensive touchdown and another turnover for our defense. So I'd have been six on the day with multiple touchdowns, which, again, right, is something that you always want to see from a defensive performance. Myself, as a guy who always appreciates defense and loves defense, everything I saw in this game from the Chiefs defense was perfect. It's almost like an early Christmas gift, but I hope they don't stop there. So just high level, going into the good and the bad of this game, good, it would be crazy of me to talk about anything else aside from the defense. The defense, once again, balled out. 5 turnovers, potentially 6. Would have been 2 touchdowns, 2 fumble recovery touchdowns. I know I called out in the pregame episode that a pick six was going to really get things going. It was a fumble six. I won't take credit for it since I wasn't spot on. But I do like that, you know, the defense is balling out once again. And anytime your defense is balling as ours is, it really gets your team hyped up. You know, the game, I know that our offense is kind of like watching Steph Curry shoot the lights out in the gym, where, you know, once we make those big plays, things just start clicking for the offense. But defensively, that's just how football works. You hit people, you make them give up the ball, and if you score touchdowns, without a doubt. So as soon as we had that fumble six to start out the game, I knew it was going to be a nice one. And Mike Hughes balled out, and deservingly so, won the AFC Defensive Player of the Week. Once again, another great Brett Veach find or signing, since that was some maneuvering that he did to get him there this offseason, which people don't give him enough credit about. I know, you know, everyone thinks that every GM should be 100% on every draft pick and every free agent move and every contract extension or not re-signing someone. But GMs fail more than they succeed. But in Brett Veach's case, he finds a lot of value players where he's giving up small things, right, like late round picks, and getting a player that has contributed like Mike Hughes so far this year. So again, the good part to me of this game was the defense. It's fun to watch defense play this way and ball out. Everything from Frank Clark refining his form on why we traded for him from Seattle to the addition, another Brett Veach trade and find, or find and trade, in Melvin Ingram from Pittsburgh. Because with Clark Jones and Melvin Ingram, they've just been wrecking havoc in the backfield of opposing offenses. So, you know, once again, another great pickup, and it's just he's fit perfectly with this team. So it'll be interesting to see how he does versus his longtime team in the Chargers tomorrow night. Going into the bad for the Chiefs, I would sound like a negative Nancy or someone just making stuff up if I said that there was a bad side of the Chiefs, but there really wasn't. The bad that I have to call out is the Raiders doing their little team meeting or little team huddle before the game on the Chiefs logo, because that definitely backfired. And I get it. It's football's an emotional game. You got to find ways to fire up your guys in games where you're probably going to be outmatched. I don't think stomping on a logo or doing stuff on a logo is really that much of a game changer. I also don't believe in karma, and that's what you get for stomping on the logo. It's just the Chiefs are a better team, and you don't see teams like the Chiefs, you know, like the Patriots doing things like that, because they take care of business on the field. They don't have to really worry about before or after game antics as the Raiders did last year when they beat the Chiefs and drove their team bus around Arrowhead, celebrating their regular season win as their Super Bowl. Funny story, for those of you that were at the game, right, they played Wheels on the Bus, Go Round and Round, or whatever the name of that song is, right, the kids song, you know, kind of making fun of the Raiders and their little bus tour around Arrowhead last year when they won a game. So that to me is the bad of this game is I get it. Raiders are a bad team. They're kind of in shambles with, you know, let's say the tragic event that happened with Henry Ruggs, the lack of thinking by their cornerback, David Arnett, that who just recently got signed to the Miami Dolphins practice squad. So that's interesting. Talks about the Dolphins' morals as well. And then obviously losing Chucky, their coach, at the beginning of the season, in the first quarter of the season. So we all know they're going to probably scrap it and rebuild it. But that's not our problem. You know, we'll still beat them up as we have the last few games. As I said in a Facebook post, it's not a rivalry if only one team wins it. And I'm all for that, right? I like competition. We compete against everybody else. But when you beat the Raiders the way the Chiefs did this past weekend, it's always a good thing to see. All right. And so really, just as I wrap up, final thoughts on this game. Again, right, it was good to see offense clicking, being efficient, getting the ball in the hands of playmakers like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who has looked like a different running back, more explosive, more agile, stronger, smarter, more efficient than before his injury this year. Darrell Williams, once again, you know, just making plays anytime his number is called. And then even Derek Gore making plays and once again showing why he is on this NFL roster. Defensively, balling out once again. I mean, there were times where you're watching Derek Carr and he has nothing available. And I get he's probably down some weapons being out. Darren Waller, you know, now that they're missing Henry Ruggs, they may have signed DeSean Jackson, or Hunter Renfrow was kind of coming to his own. And I can't remember his first name, but number 87, Moreau, the tight end for the Raiders, looks to be like he'll maybe develop into a player. So I get that their offense isn't the greatest, but when an offense isn't the greatest, you should do what the Chiefs did to them. I know Kenyon Drake is out because he's injured, broke his leg a few weeks ago. So Josh Jacobs, but Josh Jacobs is a really good running back in his own, and Chiefs did an amazing job of stopping him, frustrating Derek Carr, beating up their offensive line, and obviously beating up their receivers and in their tight end and their wide receiver for making them fumble. So once again, just good, strong football by the Chiefs in every aspect of the game. And you want to be playing really good football as you head into a great matchup, which will probably be the best Thursday night matchup we might have all year, you know, kind of when thinking about the schedule overall in this Chiefs and Chargers matchups. We've had great ones over the years, whether it's the Phillip Rivers fumble because of a firework in the parking lot at Arrowhead, or you know, some of the other matchups we've had there. Unfortunately, sometimes they've beaten us, so on and so forth. But yeah, it'll just be a fun game that I will talk a lot more in detail about tomorrow as I do the pregame episode. One quick note to wrap up here is currently the NFL has about 75 players on the COVID list, which means as of right now, they're not eligible to play. Now, there are obviously protocols that gets them to a point to where they should be able to play this weekend. For the Chiefs, players like Chris Jones, you know, will not be playing unless I've missed something within the last few hours or minutes or hours. So that's an interesting thing happening, right? Because obviously as a country, I know, or as a world, we're kind of going through another strain of COVID, and it's definitely impacting the NFL with some of the big names around the league. It's something you can look up easily. You know, names like Odell, if I'm not mistaken, Baker Mayfield, also Chris Jones, Rashawn Slater for the Chargers. So all kinds of names being impacted by COVID. So, that's big news. And then one thing we talked about late on the preview episode for the Raiders game was the Heisman, who our pick was. Of course, I think both Scott and I said Bryce Young would be the winner, and he was, and it wasn't even close. Aiden Hutchinson was technically number two, followed by Kenny Pickett. And then C.J. Stroud, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's the third and the fourth place getters on that. But yeah, that's just one thing that I want to follow up on, right? Because it's always an interesting topic. I think the Heisman is a little bit different. It means something different now than what it did, let's say, 10 years ago, which is how college football has changed. Alabama, once again, dominating in every aspect of college football. But yeah, aside from that, don't forget to tune in and look for our Chargers pregame episode, where we'll obviously go into everything about tomorrow's big matchup and then have a little bit of fun extra topics or topic there at the end of the episode as well. Once again, don't forget to look for us on every social media platform, including Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We aren't on Snapchat because we just don't do that. And then podcast-wise, don't forget to follow us, give us a like, thumbs up, review, whatever it is you want. We want to hear from you. We want you to know you're there. So follow us on every major podcast platform, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever it is you listen to them, they are there as we publish them. All right, folks. Well, that's it for me. Chiefs Raiders recap. big win at Arrowhead. And now we look ahead to the big matchup versus the Chargers that I will talk about tomorrow. So thanks again for listening, and go Chiefs.